You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
To be honest, it was the promise of being able to get back to normal life, seeing things open again, seeing shows being booked, seeing bands go on tour, like start booking tours. The fact that travel wasn't really an issue anymore. You can go out and do, you can fly wherever you want and no big problems, no weird, sketchy things. It's all normal. It feels like we're getting really close to normalcy now. So I'm like, yeah, I'm feeling better about this, man. We're all getting good.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians, talk about their lives, music, and craft beer. This Vox and Hops episode is presented by Heavy Montreal. Heavy Montreal is Montreal's premier metal promoter. They put on a bunch of sick shows throughout the year. But more than that, they also put on one of North America's best metal festivals, and that's the absolute truth. I have played festivals all across the globe, and Heavy Montreal is up there with the best of them. I am beyond stoked to have Heavy Montreal behind the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. Now, before we jump into today's episode, I would just like to ask you to follow the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, something else that I would love for you to do would be to tell a friend about the podcast. If there is someone in your life that enjoys metal and craft beer, then you should absolutely tell them about Vox and Hops. You can tell them that there are over 290 episodes for them to go back and listen to, featuring conversations with some of the biggest and best metal musicians. If you were to do that and encourage one of your friends to become a future Vox and Hops head, that would be something that I would truly appreciate. Now, on today's episode, I'm very stoked to have back on the podcast the one, the only, Adam D. of Killswitch Engage, Times of Grace, and Serpentine Dominion. This is Vox and Hops, episode number 291.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today I am back with Adam Dukowitz of Killswitch Engage, Times of Grace, and Serpentine Dominion. Adam, last time we were together, we were at Heavy Montreal, and we shared a brew. We had a good time. It's been a while. How are you doing?
It feels like forever ago, man. Oh, my God. So much has happened and so much has not happened. It's just, wow. Yeah. I look back at that meeting as a wonderful time and a great day, and there's been such a void of that for like the last 2 years. So yeah, here we are. Yeah. Ready for more shows and more festivals. Yeah, I think it's time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's jump into the thick of it. How did you cope with the glorious time, the glorious year of 2020 and now half of 2021? How have you coped, Adam?
Quite honestly, I coped quite terribly. I didn't do so well. Most people took this time to maybe better themselves, you learn hobbies, read books and whatnot. I just hurt my back and spiraled into a deep, dark depression and drank a lot.
Really?
So yeah. Yes.
Really?
It got pretty bad. I'm doing a lot better now, man. I am.
Good. Were you doing something energetic, hurting your back, or was it a meaningless task?
It's yet another one of those meaningless situations where it just happened over time and it just got worse. And, it's funny. I think it actually sourced from me working on demos and guitar parts for that Times of Grace record and another project. Playing guitar at my desk and just slouching for hours and hours.
Really?
So yeah. Slouching is like the worst thing you can do for your back, man. Especially like when you have something like I do, you have like all these like shot discs in your spinal cord, where you have all this like gelatinous garbage pushing into your canal and, pressing on your spinal cord. It just makes it worse and inflames all that and squishes out the junk into the part that no touchy. You're not supposed to touch that, the nerve part. yeah.
Well, I'm happy to hear that you're on the better side of things.
Yeah.
Got through the darkness and are closer to the light. We are closer to playing shows. I've been saying we must be halfway now. I always feel on a long car ride, if I know I'm at least halfway is gone, I feel a little bit better than I did at the beginning. So we must be halfway by now.
Well, shows are already happening in places. Mm-hmm. So it's happening, man. It's coming back. So that's good. Did you cope well? Did you get it like hobbies and stuff?
I dove deep into the podcast and have been talking to people all over the globe versus just face to face, which is what I would have done the whole time with the podcast. So it just opened the doors to be able to connect with anyone. So I made like a COVID list, and I've hit quite a few of those people. So it's been for me, it's been good, the podcast. Plus, I got to spend a bunch of time with my kids.
That's great. That's awesome. See? A lot of people made out like that. It's good.
Vox and Hops is all about hanging out with my metal friends, talking about their lives, music, and craft beer. Now, it's a little early for you, so you're not drinking a craft beer, but what are you drinking today, Adam?
Just a little espresso. I got an espresso machine at my house. I've fallen in love with, I just love intense flavors. And, I want my coffee as dark and just you know, rip your face off as possible, which is kind of like, I like the rip your face off thing when it comes to beer. But not the dark so much. I do like dark stuff. You know, I've been getting into now cigars, which is not really such a good hobby. Yeah, not a good hobby to have. But that and a really heavy stout, you know, just nothing like it.
There's a adroit theory that they pair on their cans cigars that go with the beer. And I think that's super cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a wonderful thing.
On my side, I have three beers here. I had my mind made up last night because I know you're really into the West Coast IPA style brews. So I wanted to honor and respect that. So this is a brew that was brewed as a part of Brutal North America, which is Vox and Hops' latest collab project. This is The Agonist, one of my good friends here from Montreal, and Le Fermatal's Brew is My Guide. It's a 7% IPA, double dry hop IPA, but it has more of like a West Coast tang. It's got a little bit of a Belgian feel to it. And then some shameless self-plugging here. We got Cryptopsy's Pilsner Supremacy, which is a New World Pilsner, so it's a double dry hopped mono mosaic hops Pilsner, which is another option from Kanawaki Brewing. And then Kanawaki Brewing was a part of Brutal North America as well with Cryptopsy, where we did Cold Haze, Warm Blood, the double New England with blood orange juice.
Nice.
Which one should I drink? I'll let you choose.
I kind of want to say the first one.
Brew is My Guide. The
Yeah.
Awesome, from Le Fermatal. Killer. I want to go back. I'll pour this out as I do this. I want to hear about your very first beer. I think last time we together, we did not talk about that. I would like to hear about the first beer that Adam drank.
Oh, geez. Probably sneaking some Bud Heavies from my dad's garage. I'm thinking it was like terrible tasting. To be honest with you, man, you know, it's funny. I was actually straight edge until about 24, 25. And so I didn't really drink at all. And like, I think it was my job at the time that made me just like jump into like, you know, it's time for a beer. I was working as a telemarketer of all things.
Oh yeah. I've done that. Yep.
Yeah. And it's soulless. It's absolutely soulless. And I would rather do anything else but that, man. I just remember just getting down to my job. Like, man, this is not a good time. I'm not really enjoying this. And just coming home one day and be like, you know, why don't I try a Guinness?
Wow.
That was my dump, like just diving right in. That was my first real, like, I'm going to drink some beer tonight. And I did some Guinness and, it tickled me right. I like it.
Well, cheers to that Guinness.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's been quite a whirlwind of discovery with beer, being so, like the whole craft industry just blowing up over the past, you know, what, 10, 15 years. and just finding new styles and new, like, it's just, it's a whole new world compared to when I, you know, first had that Guinness, you know. It's incredible.
It's exactly where I wanted to go. I wanted to know, when did you discover craft beer? When did you discover beer could be more? And do you remember a specific beer that really blew your mind?
Well, I guess it started with, I stayed with Guinness and like Bass, for my beginning stages of enjoying beers. And then it started picking up when I had my first Sammy, Sam Adams. I was like, that's a really good beer, and it's not from a macro brewery. Mm-hmm. Geez, after that, it's such a weird, I don't remember like how it went from that, except we would go to Europe. I would try some funny beers in Europe and be like, that's pretty cool. And, you know, there is this one, I think it's a brewery from Norway. I forgot their name. What's the biggest brewery from Norway in there?
Omnipollo. Or is that Sweden?
No, I think that might be Sweden. Anyway, I had this first, for the first time, I had this insanely dry hopped ale in Norway, of all places. And I was like, holy shit, what is that? Is so insanely cool and floral. And then, oh, geez, I think I started working on records out here in San Diego with Azalea Dying. And of course, it's all over after that. you know, I want to say, like, I think I was drinking Stone before that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think the history of the West Coast IPA really, you know, came from this place, man. Obviously, you know, Sierra Nevada is the real, you know, founders of that style. But, you know, I think San Diego just took that. You know, they passed the ball to them and they just didn't stop running, man. It's like, here we go.
Something in the water over there. The water for making a beer is so important. And the San Diego scene has such a unique taste. It's definitely, there's something in the water going on over there.
Well, actually, there is. Yeah. You need a high alkalinity. So, yeah, it's part of it. Yeah.
Amazing. I spoke to Jesse earlier this year, and he mentioned that if you were to retire, which you're obviously not going to, you would probably end up becoming a brewer. Is that something that resonates with you? Apparently, you read a lot about brewing beer. Is that truth?
I don't know if it's truth. I get so burnt out on cleaning. when you make beer, like the littlest little thing, if it's not perfectly sterile, it can really throw in some off colors. So it's a lot of fun, and I still haven't like brewed anything that I'm like particularly like super proud of. So I don't know if like I would want to do it full time, but it's still like I've been meaning to get back into doing it. I haven't really done much since the pandemic. But it's just interesting. I'm just so damn fascinated with, you know, recipes and, you know, how just interchanging one little thing in a recipe can drastically affect the flavor profile of a beer, you know? And even like, if you want to go crazy, there's like the hop varieties.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, I'm a West Coast fan. It's like the hop varieties are just insane. It's like, and they keep making more because they're crossbreeding, and it's like, oh my God, this is just getting insane.
Yeah.
So, but it's just, it's nuts. The sky's the limit. You can do so many different things with it, you know. So I don't know. I guess that's the long answer.
We'll see. We'll see. If you get there, I'll definitely come taste one of your beers for sure.
I just hate cleaning, man. I'm this anal retentive person. I feel like it's never going to be clean. So I'll just keep scrubbing and just, it never ends, you know.
That sounds like a nightmare of yours.
Yes, kind of, yeah.
I had a chat with Eddie Torres of the RRBG podcast. He mentioned that you walked into Cigar City once while he was working there, and he took you in the back, and he basically launched his podcast with you and creating Alive or Just Brewing. Is that how that whole thing came together?
That is how it came together. I believe I was there with our drummer, Justin, and my friend Corey, and we were there just on a whim. Obviously, you know, I'm a craft beer fan. You know, I was like, oh, Cigar City, you know, they're a that was back when they were in a small, very small deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was like, oh, we're actually down visiting Florida for some baseball spring training games.
No, it wasn't even a gig. I thought you were on the road. Okay, cool.
Oh, no, we're just down visiting for some baseball. And I was like, oh, this craft brewery sounds pretty cool. I think I might have heard of them. And so we went and just checked it out and, you know, started dancing around with the menu and drinking some stuff. And then he recognized me. And yeah, we just hit it off and shot the shit. And alas, his podcast was born.
I know. It's amazing. And he's still going. He's doing really well. He was actually a part of Brutal North America. I got him a beer collab. So it made me very happy.
Yeah. Did he do a lager with you?
He did a lager, yeah. With Sam Riggins of Cosmic Eye Brewing. And the name of the brew is really funny. It's like, I don't even listen to podcasts because he doesn't listen to podcasts except for Vox and Hops and the RRBG podcast. So I think that's hilarious. This is a Heavy Montreal Presents Vox and Hops episode. So I want to hear about your memories, anecdotes, something you can talk about that's special about Montreal, playing Montreal.
That's where my horse wife lives. I have a French Canadian horse wife. Yeah.
I don't know what that is, so I need some. Please specify what a horse wife is.
She speaks no English, so we've never really had a conversation. it's the funniest thing in the world. So for some reason, just like we've had this history of us like wearing horse masks on stage. Like I'll just put on a horse mask and like run around on stage and, you know, surprise the guys. And it's hysterical every time because it's a human body with a horse head. It's just like the funniest thing you've ever seen, you know? So, oh man, I have so many heavy MTL things to talk about. So we're playing at Heavy MTL and there's people having a great time, they're partying, and all of a sudden I noticed this topless girl in the crowd on her friend's shoulders with a horse mask. And I'm like, oh my fucking God, that's the funniest looking thing I've ever seen. Just, you know, her boobs out, horsey head, just partying, and I'm like, oh my God, oh, I love you. And I'm just yelling at her, telling her I love her. And somehow, like, I never forgot Horsewoman. And the next time we played, she was there again and she did it. I'm like, oh my God, it's Horsewoman again. It's like, I love you, Horsewoman. Right? So my stage dude actually got her to come up on stage. She had a shirt on. Got her to come out on stage and I proposed marriage to Horsewoman and she just is like, I'm like, fuck, I don't speak French. And that was it. Yeah, for that, and then that was like the funniest thing ever for us. I don't know why we find so much humor in horse masks. And then another great memory. Another year, we were backstage, and Real Big Fish, the ska band, were next door, and I don't know how we just started like hitting it off with the trombone player, and then. So this light bulb just appeared over my head, I swear. And I'm like, oh my God, this is the greatest idea ever. And I asked him, we have a song called The End of Heartache. And there's just main motif that just goes after the and I was like, what if that was trombone? I talked to him and I'm like, would you want to do this? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like, all right. So I just, you know, told him all the notes and all the everything that needs to happen. And he came up and he played trombone on The End of Heartache. And
amazing.
We were shitting our pants. We were laughing so hard. We were like, this is the greatest thing in the world.
I love how you guys never take yourselves too seriously.
It's rock and roll, man. It's rock and roll. It's not supposed to be like, everybody be mean to each other for the next 45 minutes, you know? Grab a beer and have a good time, man, right?
That doesn't translate into death metal very much, though. Death metal, we're still evil for that 45 minutes. And then you come and talk to me afterwards, I'm the nice guy at the merch table, right?
Yeah, burn some churches and say some satanic verses. Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hopsins? I just want to take a little moment about Cryptopsy's upcoming tours. That's right, I'm talking about the Scream of Perseverance tour and our headliner dates. that coincide with that tour called As Summer Burns. The Scream of Perseverance tour is kicking off at the end of May and runs all the way until the end of June. We are supporting the mighty Death to All. We are going all over the United States and we are hitting some of Canada. So excited to be honoring the legendary music of Death alongside amazing musicians that performed on these albums. Even more stoked to be doing some headliner dates in some cities that I've actually never played in. If you are planning to come to any of these shows, you should definitely grab your tickets by going to voxandhops.com/summer and you will be able to grab all of your tickets there. That's voxandhops.com/summer. Do it, people. Come hang out with me. Enjoy life, metal, and craft beer in your hometown. Come to a show. We're going to have a great time. Now, enough about all of that. Let's get back to the episode. You just dropped a new record, Times of Grace, Songs of Loss and Separation, came out yesterday, which is dating when we're doing this, but it's fun when it's the day after. So did you get to celebrate a bit yesterday?
No, I took the evening off, actually, because I was celebrating the 3 days before.
Is that something you do? Do you still celebrate releases, or is it?
No, I don't at all. No, it was my girlfriend. My girlfriend actually had 3 days off this week, so we got to hang out for 3 days straight. And we ended up going to a winery the day before. So, I wasn't ready to have any drinks yesterday.
First record, it's been 10 years, dropping it during a pandemic. I've been talking to lots of artists dropping records throughout a pandemic. I know that it's a difficult time to do so. Cryptopsy, we've had inner discussions about if we were going to release a record right now, would we? Would we hold on to it? Is it just going to be forgotten? What was your and Jesse's and everyone involved's mindset for dropping the record now?
Well, it was pretty much... You know, the vocals were pretty much done before all of that went down. So it was kind of more so me just finally having the time to get the bass and the guitars recorded and put the finishing touches on it. And that's obviously something I can do all by myself. So I just got it done with, you know, and finally buttoned it up and there it was.
Yeah. It's an interesting album. I listened to it extensively since it dropped yesterday.
It's different. It's definitely not for Killswitch fans exclusively. It's not very metal. Yeah.
But I'm perfectly fine with that. I'm all over the place, and I know a lot of fans are as well. And so are you. You know, you are more than just Adam D from Killswitch. You've been doing a whole bunch of things. Liberating is it to have this project where you can put those riffs that you probably had some for a while but they just never fit anywhere?
Oh yeah, it was so much fun for me to have no expectations when writing the songs. I could just do whatever the hell I wanted. And you know, I listen to all sorts of music, so it was fun to explore like more textural realms and, you know, some sad bastard realms and, you know, just do something completely different. Like I've never released anything like this. So it's, and I sing a bunch more too. So it was a challenge and it was also just, liberating, you could say. Yeah.
Cause when you got Serpentine Dominion, where you got your extremeness covered, Killswitch is a mix of both. Times of Grace is now have this zenness, almost this more melancholic side of Adam D. It makes me wonder, when is there going to be just a solo Adam D project where you just do everything you sing? Because I know you sing well, and you sing well on this record, and you've been singing well for many years. So
I don't have the confidence or the chops to do so.
Because you're too difficult. You're so difficult. You're a producer. That's why. Just like Chris Donaldson. He's so rough on me. And Jesse was mentioning the same thing too. You know, like when you fuck up one thing on stage and you get off stage and the producer guy goes, and you're like, yes, I know. Thank you.
Well, if it's a blatant mistake that almost throws off the entire band, like I can't have him in my ears, man. Like, because he'll timing. Jesse has this timing issue where, like, once in a while, he'll just get so thrown off and it just turns the vocal train wreck.
He's driving. He's on emotion.
Yeah. But if I hear it, I'll lose my place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, seriously, because I'll start paying attention to it, and you're like, "Oh, what the fuck are you doing?" And then all of a sudden, I'm somewhere where I'm not supposed to be, and then catastrophe, man, catastrophe.
The black spiral void.
Yeah, my monitors, it's just me and Justin. That's it. You, and then you can't fuck up because it's just you and the drums. And if it's not right, it's my fault. You know?
So you don't have the confidence vocally or the chops, you're saying, vocally to front your own project.
Sorry, that went off on a different tangent. Yeah.
No, it's good. I brought you right back.
Yes. I feel this is why I like working with Jesse. He's much more poetic, and he just has a way with words more than I do. He's got such a creative brain with illusion and, you know, using metaphors and just my brain doesn't think like that. I'm so damn literal and I just see things for what they are. And, you know, and it's just, you know, even the way I think about song structure and music at times, it's very calculated and thought out. But so I think he and I make a good team when it comes to, you know, writing lyrics and, you know, putting vocal parts down.
Well, I believe in you. I think you could pull it off, but it might take a few more years. Killswitch Engage is doing Vaccinated and Intoxicated from the Palladium, of course. I love that.
Yep.
And I like the name. The name is amazing, too, of course. Who came up with the name?
Right?
The name sounds amazing. Oh, that's you,
it
right?
It was me all the way. Like, yeah, let's... I was thinking, why don't we do some kind of title that kind of encompasses like the times, mm-hmm. like why we're playing in the Palladium with no fucking people here? Because I'll tell you that right away. That was like the most awkward thing for me. Like I can't get on stage and like rock out, you know, when like nobody's there, man. Like where the fuck I'm usually, I have to feed off the energy of the crowd and like, I'm there to like party with the people there, you know, and like there's nobody there. I'm like, I don't want to party with myself. I'm just going to shit. I don't know what to do. I just came up with it so you can kind of get the vibe that like, yeah, this is like a thing during COVID and yeah, we're drunks.
I spoke to Jesse. I think we had our conversation in November. He was talking about, you guys have been speaking about doing a live stream since then, before that point, but you guys wanted to do something big, something special, something for the fans. Why now when shows are basically coming back?
I know. Well, I think we really hit a big speed bump with the fact that we live so far apart from each other. I personally wasn't comfortable with coming back to Massachusetts without getting vaccinated first because my grandmother is really old. So, and if I'm going all the way to Massachusetts, I got to see my family. So, you know, there's lots of reasons. I'm pretty sure Justin wasn't comfortable, traveling without, you know, getting all shot up. So, and we want to be the assholes that get somebody sick.
No, hell no.
I don't care if I die. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all, but, I don't want to get anyone sick. So it took us a long time to finally get the opportunity to get practiced up and then finally get together. So we're late to the game, but it's also something we wanted to do to, you know, drop a little like, hey, we're going to play the whole record that we were supposed to tour on. You know, we're going to go out and promote the new record when COVID hit.
Yeah, it was just about to start, or it was just started with August Burns Red, right?
And Light the Torch.
That's correct.
And it got shut down after 2 days.
Oh.
I was like, oh, fuck.
Those tour shirts, fucking tour shirts. But
yeah, dude, all the overhead, all the losses on that, it was just insane. So it's just like, oh my God. And like, you feel for all the people that bought tickets to it too, you know? It's mm-hmm. like, because, you know, all the venues obviously don't want a refund. They want to just do it as a postponement. So it's like all these people bought all these tickets and now they're just like, well, fuck, now what? You know, it's just so. Yeah, that's why the delay, and that's why we did what we did, because we want to be able to share the record with people. So thought it'd be a cool way. Like, we're not obviously not going to play the whole record live when we finally do go out and promote it. So Yeah, I thought it was just a cool way to do it. Like, hey, here's the whole record. We us playing it. Check it out.
That's amazing. Amazing. Is that tour actually being rescheduled, though?
We're still talking about, routing right now. So
amazing. Yep. Amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Montreal date. We're going to hang out.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope so, man.
Absolutely. I want to talk about a new beer that's coming. Something that I helped orchestrate. I don't know if you know this, but I know this. Joaquin Pena, who is from Ilse Street Brewing, he's actually the dude I was conversating with him, and where Brutal North America was born was through a conversation with him. The initial idea grew into Brutal North America. So when I had a chat with Jesse, he had mentioned that he's gluten-free. We had discussed a little bit about making a beer for him. And I know that Joaquin was a huge fan of you guys. So I basically just did like an intro email. And now there's a beer being born out of this. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so damn cool. It's with Departed Souls. Ilse Street Brewing. It's called Blue Medusa. I love the beer style. A blueberry crumb cake sour, gluten-free, from New Jersey, 5.5% ABV. Do you like this beer? I don't think does it fall into your palate register?
I'll be honest. It doesn't sound like the first thing I would choose on a menu. I'll be honest. I've gotten so burnt out on people throwing fruits in beers, especially things that are not gosas or sours. So the last thing, like when I want a beer, I guess I don't want anything fruit related. And or cake related.
So this is a beer for Jesse.
cake beer. Good. yeah. Pretty much so. Yeah. I think Jesse.
It is very cool, though. And the lineup, I think it's coming out very, very soon because it's to line up with the album release.
Yeah. I think Jesse planned all this on his own. Yeah.
Amazing. I'm so happy that it happened. I like when things like these happen. When I just drop a seed and then I walk away and then things happen, it makes me very excited.
Yeah, I have a question.
Yeah, go for it.
If this truly is a gluten-free beer, how are they sourcing the fermentables?
Like the malts, do you mean?
Yeah, like
they must be using like sorghum or spelt or something like that.
Yeah, right.
I'm pretty sure that Departed Souls. I didn't do enough research before this, but I have a feeling that Departed Souls makes gluten-free beer. I think that's right. What's happening. I think that Joaquin hit up Departed Souls because they are specialists in this. So,
gotcha. Yep.
I feel like that's what happened. I hope I'm right on that. And if I'm not, Joaquin, you can tell me. you've been mentioning that you went through some dark times. We talked about having a hard time not being on stage, performing on stage without a crowd. For myself, I'm very lucky I get to do the podcast right before I sit down here. I get those same little like goosebumps, the little energy, the excitement that I would get before I step onto stage. How have you been filling the void of performing?
Oh God. I haven't. I haven't at all. It's going to be great to get back to it. Been through a crazy 5 months of trying to find a place to live.
Really? Wow.
That was another thing that sucked up a lot of time. We ended up selling our house like halfway through the pandemic. And let me tell you something, it's really easy to sell a house right now. But if you need to find a place to live, you are a screwed human being.
You gotta pay a lot more money than you want.
Yep, that and even we couldn't find a place to rent even because we have two pit bulls. And the breed restriction thing is so ridiculous. Yep. It's not the breed, it's the owner, damn it.
I agree.
So like, you know, our dogs are so sweet. I went through...
They were America's dog back in the day.
Hell yeah, man. They always say Abe Lincoln. That's he had a pit bull. That was part of that whole depressive situation where I went through where just had so much going on, just trying to find a place to live. I haven't filled that void at all.
It's such a big part of your personality.
Yeah, I like getting out and touring, man. I think that's another thing. I miss the travel of it all. That's been killing me. Like, I live in California. It's a wonderful place to live, and like lately, you know, the last year, I've just been like, I need to get the hell out of here. And you know, they say a rolling stone gathers no moss. So there's a lot of moss on me right now, man. I need to get out and do something, you know?
You were in that dark, dark place. What brought you out of it? What was that light that finally helped you stand up and shake things off?
To be honest, it was the promise of being able to get back to normal life, seeing things open again, seeing shows being booked, seeing bands go on tour, like start booking tours. You know, the fact that travel wasn't really an issue anymore. You know, you can go out and do, you know, you can fly wherever you want and no big problems, no weird, sketchy things. It's all normal. So yeah, it feels like we're getting really close to normalcy now. So I'm like, yeah, I'm feeling better about this, man. We're all getting good.
That makes me very happy. I'm happy you're feeling better, and very excited to see you back on the road, back on stage where you're meant to be, not slouched over writing riffs, which is a good thing for you to do as well. But you need to get one of those posturpedic chairs or something.
Oh, I rethought my whole game, man. I went to Costco. They got these desks, these motorized desks. They're just perfect. You can raise them up and down, stand up desk. It is sick. It's a game changer, dude. Oh my God.
Even for mixing, I'm just imagining. Because I know Donaldson, Chris Donaldson, my guitarist, sits in his, he has the spot. That's the spot in his mixing room that where he needs to mix from.
Well, it depends on how your speakers are pointed at you. Mm-hmm. If they're on a stand, if they're on your desk. If you put them on your desk and you float them, they obviously travel up and down. Okay. So your apex changes with your desk level. So.
Amazing. Something you've had a vast impact on my editing of my podcast, because during our last chat, you mentioned how much you hate the sound of lip smacking, and
oh yeah, and so now you're really getting in there, right?
I cut out so much more since our chat. So thank you for that.
We're gonna sorry.
No, I love it. No. Any productive criticism is always welcome. Any criticism is welcome as long as it's given and delivered in the proper way. Let's wrap this up. One last question. It probably happened to you a lot during your dark spiral. What is your hangover cure?
Diet Coke.
Really?
Well, first I try coffee because I love coffee. And when that doesn't work, I'll move to Diet Coke. I'll be pounding lots of water in the meantime. And if the Diet Coke doesn't work, then I know it's going to be a long day. Real long day. After that,
suffer through it.
Yeah. Sleeping obviously helps. So get back in bed, try to take a nap if you have the time and the freedom. That seems to help a real lot. That's it. That's all I got. You got anything?
Fruited sours with
really?
Coffee.
You go right back in.
I try not to, because it really just delays the effect. Just snowballs into another day of enjoying craft beer. And then the next day is just a mammoth hangover.
Even worse. Yeah, you can't escape the pain that day. Yeah,
you can't escape the pain. That's a good back quote for a shirt. Thank you so much, Adam. I really, really appreciate it connecting with you again. Everyone, go check out
my pleasure.
Brand new Times of Grace, Songs of Loss and Separation. Came out on Wicked Good Records. I really, really enjoy this conversation. I really, really appreciate you being on Vox and Hops again. Cheers.
Right on. Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right to the end. You know that I love and appreciate that. Man, was I super stoked to get Adam D. back on the podcast. Huge fan of him. I know he loves craft beer. We always have a blast whenever we hang out. I'm looking forward to hanging out with him again in person. If he ever swings through Montreal again, I would absolutely love that. Adam, you rule. And I do have to say that since I recorded this interview, I have fallen deeply in love with the brand new Times of Grace record called Songs of Loss and Separation. The album had come out the day before we had this conversation, so I had listened to it, but I haven't really dived into it, and I have done that since then, and man, is this a great record. If you haven't checked it out, I strongly suggest that you do. It is most definitely going to be in my top 10 albums of 2021. If you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, you should sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast's mailing list. You could do that on my website, voxandhops.com. That's voxandhops.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week containing all of the details of everything that has happened in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast throughout the past week, including all the details about any episodes which I dropped throughout that week, if I've been a guest on someone else's podcast, as well as the links to any upcoming Thirsty Thursday virtual hangs, as well as all of the information for any cool events that I have in the works, and the links to the Brutal Awakenings playlist, which is available on both Apple Music and Spotify, and is curated by my man, Jerry Monk, the metal architect himself. So please do me a favor, sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast's mailing list. There's just so much going on that I would hate for you to miss a single thing. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media. I hope that you have a glorious week. I will be back next week with two episodes, one on Tuesday and another on Friday. But until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops hits.
I don't think it overstates things to say that the Beatles were the greatest gift to entertainment and culture of our time, a secular religion, if you will, with their universal appeal and demonstrable impact on people's lives. I'm Robert Rodriguez, host of Something About the Beatles. With every episode, I speak with historians, musicians, artists, and Beatle witnesses, all in the service of fresh insights into the most joyous cultural entity the world has ever known. I hope you'll join me and listen to Something About the Beatles, now on Evergreen and wherever you get your podcasts.